Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of The Big Vibe with Tev and Ty. As you can see, this is a very special episode. We are in Estreito de Caleta in Madeira, where Cristiano Ronaldo was born. I believe he was in the vicinity where he was born, actually. And this is a very special episode, not just because of the location. The second thing that makes it maybe not so special is that we don't have Tev for this episode, but we are joined by two familiar faces, two people that have been on the podcast separately. And now they are in this episode together. And I think it's quite appropriate because in our previous episode, we spoke a little bit about friendship and can we be friends and, you know, how longevity works with friends. And I think it's pretty cool that one of them I went to primary school with, the other one I went to high school with. So it's been years that we've been friends. And here they are, Ruben and Les. Okay, so start from one. You see our handshake.
So that's cool.
Okay, so for some context for the viewers, we've been in Madeira now for a week. Absolutely beautiful, living in the telenovela, Ruben's grandmother's house.
Yeah, shout out to the Avó.
Shout out to the Avó, yes sir. And just for an update, we've played three games of Scrabble. I won the first one. Leslie came with some other funny rules and he won the second one. Since then, Ruben and Leslie have been playing and Ruben is the Scrabble champion of Madeira. What else have we done so far since we've been here?
Been on some beautiful hikes.
Some beautiful hikes, yeah.
Some amazing food.
Picaldos. Yeah. Okay. And what else? Oh, tomorrow we're going go-karting. I will overlay the victory time that I'll get when we go.
You have to.
Yeah, I'll put the time in. We'll put the result in. And what else have we done?
Goated in there.
Lots of scenic viewpoints, lots of drives. What else do we do? The fest.
And these boys will be drinking some poncha. So, okay. So, now, down to the nitty-gritties of it. Les, you just had a wonderful trip around Europe. Okay? Where have you been? Where did you go?
Started in the UK. Went to... And I actually saw Tevin. B-Tev of Tevin Thai fame.
She's not in South Africa.
Started in South Africa, but that wasn't my Euro trip.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Not in South Africa.
Not in South Africa. Now we're here. Went to the UK. Started in South Africa. Went to the Netherlands. Then Spain. And now Portugal.
Okay. What's your favorite country of those?
Spain.
It's all mean.
I couldn't help it.
It's all been amazing. I think the most amazing part, like, it's all places I've been before, except here, obviously. But just the people I've seen along the way, reigniting old friendships, seeing friends.
Can we be friends? You see, that's what we talk about.
Exactly.
But so you said at the beginning when I saw you that it was a revolutionary trip. What made it so?
I don't know. I think it's just been the specialness. Like, I've come into this trip, like, very much not wanting to do touristy stuff. Like, I've done the views, I've done the beaches, I've done the few museums, but it was mainly like spending time with people I love and people I know in these these exotic locations.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I mean to kiss them.
And, and Primo, obviously this has been a special trip for you because Les and I have been here.
Yeah, this is home for me. This is generally home for me. Yeah, it was amazing to have you guys at one, us chilling together, all three of us, and obviously your beautiful wife. It's been amazing. And yeah, I was super excited to like show you guys where I'm from and what Madeira is all about. I've never actually had friends.
Well, okay, so then here's another question. Okay, so
no, wait, before I got a question for you guys actually.
Okay, yeah, what's your question?
After you guys seen Madeira, do you guys understand me better? Do you see how I am the person because of the way I grew up here? Do you guys understand, have an understanding of me with Madeira or not really? Like, this is just like cool to see.
So I feel like 100% I have a better understanding of you because I've always known that you've been chilled, but it's been a different kind of chilled to like a South African chilled as a person.
Yeah.
You know, so, and when you come here, it's super chilled. Like everything, not slow. You're not slow because you still have the South African part in you that's grown into you, but that chilled kind of island lifestyle, 100%. Yeah, for sure. I think I understand Ruben better as a person. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. especially like meeting more of your family and seeing your school, seeing where you walked around, seeing where you played football, all these things. Yeah. Like
yeah.
More sense of what your childhood looked like. And that's obviously where you've come from.
Okay. So now that we're on it. Okay. I actually have another question for you, Primo. Now that we're here.
Yeah.
You said normally when you come here, it's like you see your family, you spend your family. That's what it's about, right? But now we've been here. So you've been like more of a tour guide. So
yeah.
Do you feel like more connected with Madeira, or because it's touristy things, you doesn't really mean anything? Are you happy to have been able to do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, definitely happy that I've done the touristy things that I've, some I've never done, some it's been years since I've done. Because yeah, when I do come, it's just I hang out with my family, play soccer, eat food. I don't really do much. So it's been cool to kind of relive those moments. And some things have changed, some things I haven't done. But yes, when you guys leave, I'm more than happy as well to just be with the family and friends.
So next time you come, is there anything that you took us to that you feel like you, I know you do the Cristiano Ronaldo Museum every time you come.
That I've done multiple times. Yeah, I'll do that.
But is there anything else that you feel like you've done with us that you, next time you come, you would want to do it again? Like if you were alone.
Oh, if I'm alone, I'll definitely probably go spend time in Putnesh swimming pools.
Okay.
That looked nice.
Okay. Yeah, that was good. And then, okay, one more question before I move over to Les again. You have spoken about, so Ruben's getting married for the people. I'm sure we've mentioned it before. That's pretty big news, obviously. But now the wedding is coming up in January. And I don't want to talk about the wedding planning, but you've spoken or you've mentioned about the fact that you perhaps want to move or try and come back to Madeira. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we're looking at the possibility. We're torn between staying in South Africa where the family is and you're moving to this beautiful island. So yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons that Melissa and I are weighing up. And yeah, we're excited for what's ahead. And whatever we choose, I'm sure it'll be the right choice.
And you're going to move into this house, so we're going to redo it.
Yeah, actually, yeah. We're going to be staying at my vase house. I think it's a prime location, straight to Kaleta, shout out. we got a free accommodation here, why not? It's a beautiful place, beautiful, you know. It's amazing. I think it'll be perfect for Melissa and I to start our marriage journey. It'll be like a honeymoon / trying out a new place.
Okay.
All in one.
Yeah, I think that's true. Liz? You think you could live in a place like Madeira?
Probably not. Like, I guess you don't know until you try these things. But I think it would be very different from what I'm used to. Like, I keep telling myself I'm a city guy. I could only do, maybe not like huge cities all the time, but I need like a city. So probably not, but...
Also for some context, Leslie told us earlier that the thought of not being able to... He said that living in South Africa, one of his favorite things is that he can jump in a car and drive to Moscow should he ever want to. That's what he said. He said, I don't have any proof, but that's what he's... So now the thing about living in Madeira is what scares him is that he can't get in his car. He can drive in a circle, which will take, 6 hours to drive around the island. Okay, so that makes sense. I think for me, I could live here, to be honest. That's why I was asking about the university in Funchal.
Maybe. Definitely have to get used to it. It is... But it's, I would have said, if you're choosing Madeira, it's a certain lifestyle that you want to accept. And you just have to be happy with what lifestyle you want.
Yeah.
Like, South Africa is beautiful in its own way, and there's a lot of things to do there, but there's cons to it. Madeira is definitely a laid-back, super relaxed, slow-paced environment. Yeah. So if that's something you want, and just peacefulness, kumbaya.
Clearly, Leslie doesn't want peace in his life. He's just after chaos and...
Spain, basically.
So now that we're done with the tourist video of why you should move to / live in Madeira, I have another question for the boys. So I'm rolling in fast, coming in hot to the age of 30. I've said before that it doesn't really bother me too much. Les is shortly after me. Ruben turned 30 not so long ago. So we're all in the area. And I guess my question is this. Especially for my forward thinkers, I know Ruben and Leslie are the kind of guys that think have thought about their future. If you were to think, cast your mind back to 20-year-old Leslie, 18, 19-year-old Leslie, do you think that where you're at now is what you expected? Kind of, not whether you're happy or not, but just where you thought you were coming into 30? Does that kind of thing bother you, or it is what it is? Like,
I think looking back when I was 18, 19, 20, I think where I am now is kind of where I expected it to be. I think looking back, I would have liked to have done more and things differently. But I think for like the 18, 19-year-old Leslie, like everything's gone according to plan. Everything's on schedule. Everything's right. But like now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have done things a bit faster, done things a bit differently, done all these things.
Okay, but you also said more. What do you mean more? Like, what more would you have done? I mean, is two masters and everything else that you've done not enough? What do you mean more?
I mean, yeah, like what I mean specifically is like when I was 18, 19, I knew I wanted to get a PhD.
Okay.
And I think when I was 18, 19, like I kind of expected a PhD to take, like getting a PhD to take me into my 30s. But now that I am here, I'm like, oh, I could have actually done this before.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But yeah, I'm happy. I think I'm on track where I'm supposed to be.
Okay. I like that.
At the same time, like looking forward. Looking forward now, like I want things to happen faster than how I wanted things to be in my 20s.
Do you think that's changed because of the ages you're reaching? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Do you think there's like, more urgency in that?
Yeah, but at the same time, like you, I'm not scared about turning 30. Like, okay. I know a lot of our friends have, like, it's been a big milestone for them. For me, it doesn't feel as big a milestone, but like you said, we're looking towards our future, and now I want those things to happen, and those things might mean I have to be more quick and more like
proactive. Okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, Primo? You
and we're proud of you, Lizzie.
We're proud of you. We love you. We think you've done really well over the past.
I couldn't have done it without you.
Oh. And it's okay. I'll just put the explicit sign on this episode. Okay. How about you, Primo? 18, 19, I mean, I know we've spoken previously, you know, that you perhaps saw your life going in a different way, perhaps with your football.
Yeah. I'm not unhappy with my life. Like, I'm definitely happy, but yeah, it's definitely not what I expected when I turned 30. Yeah. Didn't expect this to be...
to be what it is.
My 30s, yeah.
Did you think that in your 30s you'd be considering moving back to Madeira?
Yeah, that was always a possibility.
Okay.
Yeah, Madeira's always been on the cards for me.
Okay.
My future lady. I will see if she likes it. Yeah, but it's always been a possibility for me.
Okay. So then I now have a follow-up question. So we have several years of experience, working experience between us. We have several different degrees, different study paths that we've taken. So for me, obviously, everyone knows I'm a teacher, study teaching. I did my master's in teaching. Everything is kind of like, fortunately for me, has fallen in a way that like now I want to move into like educational leadership. So that was my master's. Next thing I'm looking at doing is a PhD because I'm looking at going into like curriculum development.
I just gotta just show you more.
But the point, what I'm actually trying to get to is this. So we've all studied. We've all, you know, like we've all been working in some capacity. Ruben first. Primo first. So you did a BSc in sports management?
Yeah, BCom in sports
management. BCom sports management. Right. Okay. So do you feel like the path that you are now, just in your life in general, that what you studied served you?
Not really, I'd say. No.
Do you regret what you studied?
No, I don't regret it. I was playing soccer at the time. It allowed me to be super flexible what I did. I learned business aspect, which I do like, so that helped me in a sense, I guess. But I'm definitely not doing anything that I studied.
Okay.
Like nothing related. Maybe I've learned things along the way that subconsciously I don't actually know.
Industrial psychology, boy.
Probably. Even though I didn't attend most of those classes. Sorry, man. I don't regret studying what I did. I don't think it's... like, I think I could have been in the exact same situation right now, even if I didn't study.
Even if you had studied something else.
Correct.
Okay. Obviously, I think we've all learned kind of like, I guess you call, is it soft skills? What would you call like critical thinking? Isn't that like a soft skill, I suppose? Obviously, all those things are like things that you learn and that you gain. Okay. And how about you, Les? I think it's a little bit more of a complex question. because, you know, you've studied in various countries, you've studied various degrees.
Still figuring shit out.
Yeah, exactly. You're still kind of figuring your path out. So, you know, how do you feel about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything I've studied, I've been really happy with. And I feel I've gained a lot from, I guess, the fact that I'm still studying the fact that I'm still studying and that I have plans to enter the professional or work-orientated world means I still need to see if any of that.
Yeah, if it's going to serve.
But like going from degree to degree, like I've definitely used what I learned in the previous degree in each successive degree. And I feel I've gained a skill set that's very broad and comprehensive. But also very focused and has allowed those soft sort of skills as well.
Yeah. So for context, you did a PPE.
Yeah. And PPE was the best thing I've ever done because that was like all about the soft skills.
So PPE is philosophy, politics. Philosophy,
politics, economics.
Okay.
And philosophy, like I've said it so many times, like I hated the content. I didn't care about the content, but the skills it taught me is perhaps the most valuable thing I've learned in any of the courses I've ever done.
Why do you think that is? Using it's like, not, I don't want to say abstract thinking, but like...
Yeah, it's abstract thinking, it's critical thinking, it's argumentation, it's how to build and construct an argument and how to like, yeah.
Is that why you argue with us all the time? Is it because of the PPE?
I've never argued in my life. I can write you a paper where I argue with you.
Okay.
But I'll never argue with you. But...
So after the PPE, which was in Cape Town. We moved to...
And I went to SOAS in London, where I did
African politics, which people find ironic that he moved to London to do African politics, where Russell Brand, I think I mentioned before, was fortunate enough to study at the same university as Leslie. Shout out, Russell, if you're listening, my boy.
Still compete in Scrabble.
All these degrees and can't beat him in Scrabble. Yeah, okay. And then we moved to back to
Johannesburg, where I studied... It was called an e-science degree, but I just called it data science.
Okay.
Because it sounds fancy.
Okay.
Sounds fancy.
Does sound fancy.
But that like opened up a whole new world for me because I've always loved the maths and the statistics and the quantitative sides of things. So like that really broadened things to include that side as well.
It's a little bit of a mix of like coding and statistics.
Yeah, did some programming, did some statistics, did some data work. Which was very important.
Smart.
Yeah, was it a good move, Primo?
Hey?
Was it a good move of him to go into that field?
No, brilliant. Suit you, Liz.
And then...
Still will possessing chess.
And then the final one that you're busy with right now?
My final one is a PhD in International Affairs, Science and Technology. And the kind of aim for that is to merge everything together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now you're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Ruben, you feel like moving, you could, if not Madeira, would you go to America?
No. Okay, I've never been there.
Let me ask you this. Is there anywhere else that you would consider moving, if not Madeira?
Saudi, Ronaldo's there. Me, my homeboy.
But really, anywhere else that you would?
No. I honestly don't know. At the moment, I'm big on family.
Yeah.
You guys know this.
Of course.
So the whole family's in South Africa and Madeira. So I definitely feel like those are the two places. I don't really know. I've never put much thought anywhere else.
Okay.
It's always been Madeira or South Africa now.
Okay.
To be honest. Okay. But maybe somewhere in Europe, I think would be not bad. Like Spain. Spain.
Yeah.
Maybe Portugal itself. Other place in Europe, like UK, no, I don't think UK is for me.
No.
France, I've been to France. France also not for me.
Okay.
But America, you never know. Like, I've never been there, so we can see. But I don't like those big cities that are so busy.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes those big cities, like what I found, like living in Bangkok, for example, is like, even though Joburg is a big city.
Yeah.
It's not like, it doesn't feel, have big city vibes. Like, you can very easily be out in the suburbs and like be like living by yourself. Like, not by itself, but in space. Whereas, like, in Bangkok, it was, like, way too much for me, honestly. It was just overwhelming. It was hectic. Yeah, I'm sure Atlanta's probably more, not small town vibes, but like suburban.
I mean, how Atlanta's set up reminds me a lot of Johannesburg in exactly the way you talk about. It's got like these sections of it.
Okay.
Where if you look at Atlanta and you look at Johannesburg as a whole, it's like this huge bustling city. But like you break it up into suburbs or sections or whatever, and then it gets a bit
more manageable, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. But you, Les, are off the big city vibes.
Not necessarily.
Suck the vibes.
I'm after, I'm just like the vibes.
Okay.
Of some sort.
Okay. And then the final thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit was how you're now studying in Atlanta, obviously, and the education system is very different, right? So did you find South Africa and UK quite similar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, like, what is so different about the way the American curriculum, what makes it feel so different?
Well, like, I should preface it by saying I think all academic systems in all countries are moving towards the U.S. system.
Okay.
So I think the problems I'm experiencing in America are gaining more and more in other parts of the world as well. But I think the problem is it's very commodified and it's very reliant on your output. So it doesn't matter really what quality of work you do. It just matters how much you publish, where you publish, and just publishing, as opposed to doing good work or work that'll help someone or people or society or whatever. I think that's the biggest problem. It's all about the commodification of
academics,
research and knowledge.
Okay.
It's not about knowledge for goodness sake.
Okay. Well, you know, we said it earlier, we all end up capitalist at some point, right? We all, at the end of the day, trying to get something out of it. Why are you coughing over there?
I just love Lizzie's profit.
Okay, so then what I wanted to follow up with was, obviously, you've not been to, you've been to Georgia Tech, which is where you're studying now, and you have a feeling that the whole of America, at least you saying the rest of the world, but there's definitely a sense of commodification just everywhere around, okay? So you feel like you've mentioned to me before that you're battling in a way to kind of find the support that you're looking for within your university to help you write or help you do your PhD in the direction that you'd like it to go. And you've also mentioned that you might be lecturing at some point in the near future. I don't know if he's mentioned this to you, Pramon. Like, I think he looked at me as inspiration. He's like, oh, I could do that. So let me do that, but I'll take it a level up. They can just call me professor.
Damn.
He skipped over all my experience. He's like, I'm going straight for the jugular.
Damn.
But yeah, so you mentioned that perhaps that you might get into lecturing. And I think it's a statistics class, which it would be in the beginning.
Yeah.
If everything goes according to the way we think it's going to go. Now, you also talk about making, a societal difference, you know, in the ways that you can through your research and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
But man.
Would it be something to consider, like, so my question is this. If you stayed there and you lectured, do you not feel like you could offer the same kind of support that you're seeking right now to future students? Now, I'm not saying staying in Atlanta, but I'm just saying, you know, if this is where we're seeing a problem, like, you know, is that something that you've considered or thought about, really?
I think my biggest fear, like, I've always known that entering academia would probably be the most logical progression of what I've been doing. Like, it just makes the most sense for me to become a researcher, to become a professor. But I think in order to get those kind of jobs, it's becoming incredibly harder, because they worry about your output and your publications and all these things. So publications have never been something I've been like, oh, obviously I want to publish.
Yeah.
want to get my research out there, but I want to get good research out there. I want to get research I've worked hard on and thought a lot about, not just
churning out
these things. So I think to get in a position where I am a fully fledged professor, where I can like help people the way I wanted to, I first have to get hired.
Yeah.
And to get hired, you have to become part of the system.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm battling with those things at the moment.
Bit of a conflict, like a bit of a...
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like a sellout?
Well, not yet, because I haven't made any decisions. Like, I'm deciding whether to sell out or not to sell out.
Yeah, yeah. Because you ideally want to end up at a place that respects you for the research that you want to do, and they give, I want to say, just give you endless time, but respect, you know, like the stuff that you want to do.
Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. So that actually leads me to one more thing that I wanted to ask. You know, again, this is probably more like age related, and there's a saying, all right, that I told you earlier, and I'm going to butcher the saying because this is not exactly how it goes, but it was something along the lines of, if you're not a communist at 18, a socialist at 25, and a capitalist at 30, you haven't lived your life correctly, right? So what we're seeing is, as...
I want to know what you think about this.
So basically, you know, obviously what we mean by that is how, like, you know, we find ourselves quite idealistic when we're younger. We think we're going to save the world, perhaps, you know, like I was the same. When I was in university, I was like, I'll never leave South Africa. I have to teach here. I owe it to my country, et cetera, et cetera. And quickly that changed as my life started to change. You know, so I've had the same sort of moral conundrum, you know, like within myself, not exactly the same, but a different context, but the same kind of thought, like where it's felt like, am I being true to, like, you know, what I wanted to stand for, you know?
But why did yours quickly change? Is it because you...
I think because I think because I got into quite a serious relationship. I think that made quite a big difference for me because I started seeing my future different. I'm not always a person that's had like a lot of future planning, but you know, once Katya and I like really got serious, I really did start future planning, and I realized like how stressed I was about her and how she didn't feel safe. You know, and also on the positive side, she really wanted to travel a lot more than I did. She really wanted to travel, and I was like, I want to be with this person. And she doesn't feel safe, so let's travel. And I mean, I have not regretted it. I've loved every second of traveling. I would recommend it to everyone, not to necessarily leave a home country, but just to travel. But that whole thing of like, you know, kind of your ideals changing to kind of fit into the world, if that kind of makes sense. You've now said that you've had a similar feeling or similar kind of situation where you don't really, not know what to do, but something that you need to deal with. Primo, do you think that your ideals or your outlook on the world has changed as you've gotten older? And, you know, if so, like, what has made that change happen?
I mean, I don't think it's changed drastically that much. I mean, that might sound kind of make me look like a bad person in a way. But, I mean, we're so family-oriented, especially the Portuguese culture or whatever. So I've always envisioned myself having a partner. And I've been with Melissa such a young age.
Yeah.
Even when I left soccer, it was like a big decision. It was like... No, I'm doing this not just for myself or whatever. I'm actually doing it for the family that I want to build.
Yeah.
I need to build a future for my family. So maybe I've kind of made that decision way back then. And I've kind of always had it subconscious, like, you know, because my family, like, from a young age, like, personally, I'm not going to even talk about everyone else. But yeah, like, I've always had, and my family, well, one day when I'm married, one day when I have kids,
it'll
be the priority.
Prior to coming here, if you had asked me if will Ruben move back to Madeira, I would have said no. Never. He wouldn't leave, like, his mom, his dad.
No, that's going to be the biggest struggle. Definitely my family side. It's going to be a big discussion point.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, Melissa and I from January will be...
That'll
be my priority.
Yeah,
we are building our new family. That's going to be our priority. And, yep, we got to make decisions for me and her and our future children.
And plus, you've always been a capitalist. It's always been about the hustle, boy.
Sounds so bad.
It's always been about the hustle. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's always been about to change the world.
And now you're like, I've got bad guy.
Well, I mean, you're wearing...
And then you're like in the middle.
Yeah, you see, like, this is about balance. That's what this friendship is about. I mean, you told James at a young age the number
one...
The number one rule. Oh, we can't say it. It's a bit... so you've always...
Be happy. Number one rule. Be happy.
Be happy is the number one rule.
Be happy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, okay, I think that's actually a really nice place to wrap it up. My boys, thank you so much.
What's it?
That's our handshake. Why is it sour? Yeah, we made our own handshake. Guys, thank you so much.
Was...
Do you have one?
Oh, one.
But seriously, just have to fix it a bit.
Big love. Thank you, boys, for joining us. Really joining me. It's been
thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us in Madeira.
We have to end off with the Sioux.
Okay, but first, before we do, everybody, thank you for joining us. I know Ruben brought in the views, if you know, because he's the pretty boy. Yeah,
subscribe, like somewhere.
Yeah, like, subscribe, do all the things, and what do we do? We have to count to three to do it. to do the suit?
We can.
Okay, count us down. Tres, dos, un. He holds himself, he carries himself quite well.
So
far. Yeah. No, I wish I had a provisional suit.
Let me just quickly stop this and start this again for the final.
How do you do it?
You're talking.
I swear you had such a professional word. Like, how do you do it? Didn't you use these big ass words?
I'm trying to take the shit seriously.
But, bro, I couldn't help it.